It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if they're special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom versus force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. Thank you so much for joining us, for listening. Each of you are treasured, valued. You have purpose today. Strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. You are not alone. This is our time in history to step forward and stand for freedom. And thank you to this team that I get to work with. That is producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting for all your good work and your support. Producer Steve, I need to let you know that I continue to hear from listeners that say thank you for what we're doing, and they always say thank you to the team. Thank you to Steve. Thank you to Patty and Zach and Keith and Charlie. And so I want you to know that people really appreciate all of you and the work that you're doing.
Well, on behalf of all the others who can't be heard right at this moment, that's kind of a nice compliment.
It is. It really is. And so know that this work is very important. We're helping people, helping you get your brains around these issues of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And it is never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood. And can you say you can't work if you don't do this? Via force, and it's whether with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, coercion, or the latest, and that is the silent thief of inflation, government-induced inflation. And again, if something's a good idea, you shouldn't need to use force to implement it. So welcome to the show. Check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You will get first look at our most recent op-eds, our most recent podcasts, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And I really appreciate all of you who support us with resources as well. We are an independent voice, and we're an alternative to what's going on out there. So thank you to all of you for that as well. And one of our great sponsors... I get to work with a lot of different great people, but this show is our health and hydrocarbon show, and it's brought to you by Laramie Energy and Caris Oil and Gas. And we are realizing that abundant, affordable, efficient, and reliable energy really helps us power our lives. And we're seeing there's a, we'll talk with Bob about this in the third and fourth segment, but California, Miss Renewable State, they now realize that they need to have some fossil fuels so that they can keep the lights on. Talk about that in the third and fourth segment. Second segment, Lindsay Moore is running for school board in District 20, and we'll talk with her about that. And then another great sponsor at the bottom of the hour, and that's Kimberly Bell with Kenjani Coffee. So a great show plan for you today. Wanted to go over to our quote. Well, before we do that, did want to mention, and we'll have this in the recaps each day as well, but there's some events. Leslie Manoukian, she was on the show a few weeks ago, and she is a former Wall Street executive. She was with Goldman Sachs, and she has founded the Health Freedom Defense Fund, and she's going to be in town or in the metro area, and there's three events. There's one on Thursday in Loveland, 6 to 8 p.m., and one on Friday in Parker, 6 to 8 p.m., and one in Denver on Saturday, and that is 6 to 8 p.m., and that information will be on the recaps. And we'd love to have you join us at any of these because she is doing amazing work with this Health Freedom Defense Fund. So be sure and check that out. Our quote for today, Steve, did you have a chance to take a look at this yet?
I did.
And I wasn't familiar with this guy. William Arthur Ward, were you familiar with him?
No, this is the first time the name has popped up, but he's got an interesting, background here, so go ahead.
He was born in 1921 And he died in 1994. He was an American motivational writer. He published more than 100 articles, poems, and meditations, and they were published in such magazines as Reader's Digest, The Science of the Mind, and various Christian publications. His column, Pertinent Proverbs, was published by the Fort Worth Star-Telegram and also in American Service Club publications. He was frequently quoted, a quoted writer in, quote, an International Weekly Digest for public speakers. And this is what he said. A winner's blueprint for achievement. Believe while others are doubting. Plan while others are playing. Study while others are sleeping. Decide while others are delaying. Prepare while others are daydreaming. Begin while others are procrastinating. Work while others are wishing. Save while others are wasting. Listen while others are talking. Smile when others are frowning. Commend while others are criticizing. Persist while others are quitting.
Well, he covers the bases quite well. And I'm just thinking, in this culture right now, there's so many people sitting back, pulling back from just living life and moving forward type thing. And every one of these statements is viable.
Well, and this is what we should be teaching our kids. Instead of, as you go through the packet here, when in essence we're teaching kids which pronoun do you want to have, and teaching this transgenderism, which is totally confusing kids, we've gotten away from teaching reading, writing, arithmetic, science, history, critical thinking, to filling our kids with things over here that does not set them up for success. In fact, one of the pieces that Patty pulled here is they're finding that there's higher incidence of suicide, and we need to move back. This is truly the American idea, what he's talking about, and be aspiring to make ourselves better and better instead of this whole sexualizing of our kids and confusing them. But I wanted to get over to this particular headline because this was probably pretty far back into any paper that might have reported it. This is from Reuters. And it says, the FBI has found scant evidence that the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol was the result of an organized plot to overturn the presidential election result, according to four current and former law enforcement officials. Says, though federal officials have arrested more than 570 alleged participants, the FBI at this point believes the violence was not centrally coordinated by far-right groups or prominent supporters of then-President Donald Trump, according to the sources, who have been either directly involved in or briefed regularly on the wide-ranging investigations. 90 to 95% of these are one-off cases, said a former senior law enforcement official with knowledge of the investigation. Then you have 5% maybe of these militia groups that were more closely organized. But there was no grand scheme with Roger Stone and Alex Jones and all these people to storm the Capitol and take hostages. I think it's very important to note that. And also we have had some, I've talked to some people that were there, so eyewitness accounts, that it did appear that there were instigators that very possibly were from Antifa or Black Lives Matter. It's hard to say exactly, but they arrived in black clothing, had gas masks, had milk, which I guess is something that reduces the effects of tear gas. I don't know any Donald Trump supporters that show up to a Donald Trump rally with that kind of equipment, as well as so well prepared for a potential altercation, Steve.
Well, we were discussing it before, and I said, you know, always, I guess, a learning in life, go with your kind of your gut reaction, your first reaction, watching it. As the media kind of moved away from the big rally gathering down on the mall out in front of the White House, between the White House and the monument. And the very first pictures coming to us from the front of the Capitol, you know, and that alone, the way the cameras were staged, I thought, no, this is not what they're trying to get you to think that it is, because the way the people were moving, where they came from, all the Trump paraphernalia actually meant nothing to me. So, because there's so much Trump paraphernalia out there that they could get their hands on. This was something that was planned weeks in advance.
It sure appears so. And again, an eyewitness account that somebody that I talked with is that they had been to the back of the Trump rally because the city of Washington, D.C. did not put out any porta potties. There were a lot of people there, so they did not plan for that. And so she and her relative were near the back of the porta potties there in preparation for the inauguration. And this eyewitness said that basically the Capitol Police took these barricades and kind of moved them and almost invited people to go up onto the Capitol steps. And I found that very curious. And they did get the photo op. When I say they, those that wanted to push this narrative, because they've been pushing the American people around for quite some time, I think trying to get people to snap. And again, the American people really, again, have done a really great job. The fact that Ashley Babbitt was shot. Again, this eyewitness said that there were people going out in the crowd going, they shot somebody, they shot somebody, or they shot her, they shot her. Again, it seemed like trying to instigate Americans to take some kind of a violent action, and they didn't. They didn't, because they didn't take the bait on that. And so this fact that it's important, my friends, when you're talking with people, this is this Reuters article. My gosh, Steve, that narrative has been pushed, you know, insurrection, attack, assault. And here it is, we're in August now, and it's probably on page 42 with the classifieds. But it's important that we know that. And my friends, we need to take heart that ultimately, as we continue to search for truth and clarity, that the truth does come out. And we need to take heart with that. And so I think that that's, I guess in a way that's good news, even though it's, very late and probably buried in the paper, but I think that's really important. Before we go to break, one of my great partners of both the shows is Hooters Restaurants. They have five locations. That's Lone Tree, Westminster, Aurora, Colorado Springs, and Loveland. And they have lunch specials Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., and it's for dine-in and to-go. And they have $8 items, which look pretty yummy, $9 items, and their $10 items, they have a lunch fish and chips, or a buffalo chicken sandwich, or a Western burger with curly fries. So be sure and check out those great lunch specials at Hooters Restaurants. You could go to my website, click on my sponsors tabs. I highly recommend each and every one of them. Click on the Hooters tab, and you'll have all the specials there. And we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Lindsay Moore.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. My friends, we realize now that basically because conservatives have been, when I say conservatives, that is people that want to conserve this American idea, this idea in the Declaration that all men are created equal, with rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And if we want to conserve that, we need to make sure that we are running for office, that we are doing our civic duty. And I think for many years, we have been focused on building our businesses, taking care of our families, and have thought that those that are running for election in our special districts, our school boards, our city councils, our county commissioners, that these are people that want to represent us and care about us. But we have seen that actually there's a lot of people there that kind of like the power and are not using a lot of common sense in some of their decisions. And so it is time that we step forward. And Lindsay Moore has thrown her hat in the ring for school board in District 20. And she's on the line with me. Lindsay Moore, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim. Thank you for having me.
So District 20, tell us what area that is here in Colorado.
So it is the northern half of Colorado Springs, sort of between, I don't know if anybody listening knows the demographics, but it's Woodman, from Woodman to sort of Northgate, kind of in a middle piece, right at the top half of Colorado Springs.
Okay, and why have you decided to run?
I've decided to run because, like you were mentioning just before, it is our duty as citizens of this country to take back control of what was ours. We have released control of things that should have been ours for so long. And, you know, these kids, they're crying out for help, and I'm here to stop that. You know, our kids are under an unmitigated anti-American assault, and these doors have been open for so long for all of these things to filter in and to harm our children, and I'm here to stop it, and I'm here to close those doors and say we're not going to do this anymore.
There is this initiative that's going to be on the Colorado ballot, and they always use great words. It's called LEAP, and it's called Learning Enrichment and Academic Program Plan. And what it is a proposed a new retail marijuana tax, quote-unquote, for the children. And what they say is that it will be an after-school program. And initially, they say that it'll be for reading, writing, arithmetic. But when you really read the initiative, they have mental health in there. They say they're going to buy soccer balls for kids. You wonder, and we know that is not the proper role of government. But I submit to you, Lindsay, that if we were focusing our school hours, the time that kids are in school, and our teachers' resources, and we do want to start to paying our teachers more, this explosion of administrators and being paid that are not in the classroom is mind-boggling to me. But if we were focusing on the things that would really help our kids, set them up for success, instead of sexualizing our kids through the LGBTQ Planned Parenthood curriculum, and also the CRT, I think that we would not have to even be entertaining this very bad ballot initiative. Your comments?
Well, Kim, I agree 100%. After reading the LEAP initiative myself, that was the first thing that stood out to me. You know, our kids haven't actually been learning for the last 15 months. You know, with the quarantines and the lockdowns, they've been relegated to what's called Zoom learning. And their legally required hours by the state have gone in the toilet. So this is just another big government program to take over our kids' education. This is just another way to roundabout say, let's let big government control what our kids are learning. And I say, no, we don't need this. If we were actually focused, like you said, on teaching what our kids should actually be learning for the hours they should actually be learning it, then we don't need this.
Well, and one other note on that is with school boards, I know there's been frustration because, again, we had not realized this, that the teachers union, which is very, very powerful. And when I say teacher union, I'm not talking about teachers. I'm talking about the union that has tremendous amount of power, that they have been basically not pro teachers and pro students or pro families, school board members elected. And at least we believe in representative government. But with this LEAP initiative, it puts the governing board over there. It's an unelected, unaccountable, appointed board appointed by this governor, and then they get to choose their replacements. It's like, what could go wrong with that, Lindsay?
Well, everything can go wrong with that. You know, we've got a huge problem with big government overreach as it is. And all of our elected officials overreaching their constitutional power, number one. And so we have another board that has another constitutional overreach, and nobody can stop them, and nobody can say, you can't do this anymore. That is incredibly dangerous, especially if they have control over our children and control over programs that our children are in. So this
True.
Is a huge cautionary tale. You know,
True.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you said constitutional overreach. It's an unconstitutional overreach.
That's correct.
Okay. Hey, Lindsay, one other thing. Let's talk about these mask mandates. I saw a video yesterday at the Douglas County, in front of the Douglas County Board of Education building, a huge protest on these forced mask mandates on our children. What's your thoughts on this?
I am so proud of those mamas and papas and grandmas and kids. Oh my goodness, I am so proud of those people standing up and saying, no, we won't take it anymore. It has been proven and backed by science that our children do not need to wear masks. It is harmful. It harms their learning. It harms their physical bodies. It harms their emotional thinking. They can't think. They can't learn. And they don't know how to interpret facial signals anymore. You know, we have harmed our children for too long, and I am so proud that these people stood up and said, we're not going to take it anymore, and I hope that they continue. I hope the entire state stands up and says, you don't have control over my kids. These are my medical decisions. We won't take this anymore.
So, Lindsay Moore, how can people help you, find you, because you are stepping forward. But my friends, the rest of us cannot just sit here and have Lindsay and her other colleagues stepping forward to run for these offices. They need help. That cup of coffee at that big box place or that big company, take that money and get it over here to these people that are running for office. And so every little bit helps. So how can people help you, Lindsay?
Yes. You know, we need all the volunteers we can get to touch the voters. And like you said, a little bit of cash goes a long way so that we can reach out and touch as many people as we can, because there are so many parents out there that are struggling and they need to hear that we're going to take back our kids. You know, we're going to take back our school boards. So they can find me at Lindsay Moore for D20, and it's all one word, and it's Lindsay Moore for D20.com. And there's some buttons on my website. You can donate. You can reach out to me via email. Any of those things are on there, and all of those communication avenues are on there.
Okay, and Lindsay, what's the final thought you'd like to leave with our listeners today?
You know, my final thought is this. I may be one parent standing up to say, you know, we're going to take this back for our students, and we're going to take this back for our state, because your local action has national impact. So this is what we call the trickle-up effect, right? So when we take our school boards, our ground zero for taking back our country. And if we take back our school boards and we take back our kids, we're going to take back our county, we're going to take back our state, and we're going to take back our nation. And I implore you, as anyone out there who is listening, please get involved. You know, it doesn't matter how. Get involved and stand up, just like those Douglas County parents said. And they stood out there and said, no, we're not going to take this anymore. Anybody and everybody, we need you all.
Well, and this is the time, if not now, when? It is now that the veil is off on what has been occurring in our country. And America is on the ropes right now. These elections are so important. Lindsay Moore, I so appreciate you stepping forward. And again, she's running for school board in District 20, which is Northern Colorado Springs. $5-$10, get that over to her. That would be greatly helpful to her. Lindsay Moore, thanks so much and stay in touch.
Thank you, Kim. I appreciate you.
Right back at you. And another person who I really appreciate is on the line right now, and that is Kimberly Bell. She is a new sponsor of the show. She is the owner, she's an entrepreneur of Kanjani Coffee, which is located on the northwest corner of Lincoln and Jordan in Parker. I have been having a number of different coffee meetings there, and people walk in and they just love it. Kimberly Bell, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks so much for having me, and amen to the other caller.
What's the latest happening at Kanjani Coffee, Kim?
All right. First of all, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we are open till 9 p.m. We have beer, wine, charcuterie board. Friday night, we have live music. And then Saturday afternoon at 4:30, we're going to try to do learn how to play chess. So those are some fun things for everybody. Or just bring a game. And we have happy hour 4 to 7 Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and it's buy one, get one half off beer, wine. And then on Labor Day, we're going to have iced coffee flights. And so you'll be able to taste different varieties of the coffees if you've never had any, like different coffee drinks, like a caramel macchiato or an Americano. So we'll have those on Labor Day. And then every day we have daily deals. So every day you come by, we have something for you, some kind of discount. Today we have 2 medium lattes for $7 or 2 specialty lattes with alternative milks for $8. Then you can always say,
what's your hours, Kim?
On the web. The hours are Monday through Wednesday, 7 to 6, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 7 to 9, Sunday, 8 to 4. And our website's KunjaniCoffee.com. We do events. We can do teachers' meetings, events, bring coffee in. You can grab some coffee. We have really large Cambros. That's like 5 gallons of coffee, or any kind of meetings you want. You can also rent the space for events if you'd like after hours.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's a great idea. Producer Steve actually has, he said he'd like to jump in here with just a personal story. Steve, what are your thoughts?
Well, you mentioned the big box coffee place that has many locations. The stark contrast is Kunjani has warmth and atmosphere versus the stark coldness of the other place. And not just warmth. I know there is a fireplace, so not that kind of warmth, but, you know, the environment piece.
No, we really love our customers. I love the community. And that's, we really welcome everyone in. We want a family type atmosphere where everyone's really comfortable and you can just be who you are.
Well, I do love it. And again, that's Kunjani Coffee, Kimberly Bell. She's an entrepreneur and just really appreciate having you part of the whole team here. So thank you so much, Kim.
Thanks so much for having me. Have a great week.
We'll talk to you soon. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Bob Boswell. He is the CEO of Laramie Energy. We know that efficient, affordable, reliable, and abundant energy helps power our lives and helps us pursue our dreams. There's been an assault on that, and new developments that we'll want to talk with Bob about. We'll be right back.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who contribute to keep our independent voice on the air as we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Something's a good idea. You shouldn't have to force people to do that. Hydrocarbons help power our lives, and I think we take it for granted, this abundant, efficient, reliable, and affordable energy. The Biden administration comes into office. Biden cancels the Keystone XL pipeline. They say that we can't be doing any new exploration on federal lands. And all of a sudden, the price at the gas pump goes from a little over $2 to I'm seeing as high as $3.75 right here in the metro area. And that really affects hardworking, everyday people. And we haven't even gotten into cold weather yet. Bob Boswell, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim. Thank you.
the price of at the pump is something that people are really noticing. I have a friend that whenever he leaves the pump, he'll say very loudly, "Thanks, Biden." But this is really affecting everyday hardworking people here in America, Bob.
Well, it is, and it's kind of ironic that the president recently went out to the Middle East and asked them to increase supply to help lower the prices while they shut down the Keystone pipeline and then allowed the Nord Stream Russian pipeline to go into Germany. So it's a shame what we're seeing happening. It's a general lack of understanding, probably accompanied by an ideological agenda that is not in the best interest of the company, of the country.
When Biden was went into the White House, the previous administration had gotten us to a point where we, America, was energy independent. And what that does from a geopolitical standpoint, but also what that does as far as the cost of energy to everyday people is significant. Bob, can we get this thing turned around?
Well, I think, yes, the answer is some of the executive orders that the president put in on day one is a good first step. You know, one of the things we've seen, the president also took off federal leasing, a moratorium on federal leasing, which has generally supposed to have a 60-day time frame, but it's extended. And, you know, that's taken federal lands off leasing. He's, I think, being pushed at this time to release that, and they're saying that they're going to start leasing federal lands again. You know, a lot of the punitive aspects that have been brought forward in terms of not only the leases, but getting permits. In the state of Colorado, the Colorado Oil and Gas Commission has not been issuing permits for drilling, so all that's slowing down. And production's declining, tax revenues are declining, and we're seeing prices at the not only for gasoline, but also for electricity going up.
And that's an important point. We got a notification from Xcel that the cost of our energy from Xcel is going up, and I think it's pretty significant. But yet, here Xcel has been over there advocating for as to move to quote-unquote more renewables and closing clean-burning coal plants and advocating really for policies that are closing down our oil and gas industry. And so it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out if you can use government to policy to close down your competition and push people to you being the only provider of a product, then prices are going to start to go up, Bob.
Yeah. Well, and the government's putting incentives in for renewables and putting in more or less punitive and discussing even further punitive taxes on oil and gas production. They have it backwards. Renewables are an important source of energy, but they're supplements. They're not replacements. And if you look at what they're doing now, they are putting in requirements for these renewables that have to be backed up by single-cycle turbine natural gas-fired engines. And the footprint of these renewables is, several thousand acres compared to a 15-acre spot for either a combined cycle or a single-cycle natural gas-fired turbine. But the overall point is they're having duplicate costs. So naturally, your electricity rates are going on, go up because they're investing in expensive renewables and having it backed up by hydrocarbons because the hydrocarbons are more reliable. So you've got a double investment, a double capital investment, and utilities are oligopolies, and they get regulated returns on investment. So as those investments go up, so does maintain the returns that price to the consumers go up.
Well, and I find this headline that Patty had found absolutely amazing, and that is California, which has been pushing policy to more renewables, and is actually now going to start to build some natural gas plants because the renewables don't work. And I found the quotes on here just pretty amazing. This was from Rig Zone. It says California, a state that has been aggressively weaning its power grid off fossil fuels, is working on natural gas-fired plants in an effort to keep the lights on this summer. And basically, it said at the very bottom here, this is from one of their commissioners, Governor Newsom's emergency proclamation makes it very clear that all our energy agencies have to act immediately to achieve energy stability during this emergency, as well as accelerating plans for construction, procurement, and rapid deployment of new clean energy and storage projects. But I think that it is important that we understand that it's not working out there in California, and they are having to put in these natural gas plants. I think it's a very important point, Bob.
Well, it is, and it's somewhat ironic if you look at the state of California. While they've been a leader in renewables, they also get a higher proportion of their overall energy from coal-fired plants out of Utah relative to renewables. And they have rates, electricity rates, that are kind of 55% higher than the national average. They've been putting this money into renewables. They shut down nuclear, and they haven't been maintaining their power lines, and those have helped spark some of those fires. So it's a more or less a policy that ignores the science and the realities of energy density.
Changing subjects just a little bit, Bob, with what is happening over in Afghanistan, does that affect the energy markets at all?
Well, it can. In the longer term, it certainly can. In the shorter term, I think Afghanistan is not a big producer of oil and gas, so that's not a kind of a supply factor. But the influence of China and Russia now coming into Afghanistan, the disruption that we might see in the Middle East, just given the kind of the terrorist nature of the Taliban, those are all factors that I think could interrupt energy supply and create some issues going forward.
In our research that we've been doing, our understanding is that there is rare earth minerals in Afghanistan. Is that correct?
Well, it's my understanding. I haven't really studied that, but they are supposedly one of the forces that have minerals of lithium and others that go into the making of batteries. So that could be a factor as well.
Well, and I think that is really important as we see public policy here in America that's trying to push people into electric vehicles. It's an important point to make that the electric vehicles, the batteries, are very dependent upon rare earth minerals. And I don't think that we're mining many of them here in America. So our exit from Afghanistan with China and Russia moving in gives them access to those particular minerals. And once again, here we have public policy that is trying to push people off of fossil fuels, more reliant on electricity, which makes us more reliant on China. I see a real problem with that, Bob.
Well, it is. I mean, lithium is a rare earth element. It's rare because it is rare. And the biggest sources of it, my understanding, are in China, Africa, and as you pointed out, Afghanistan. So those are problems. But, you know, I mean, the reality is lithium batteries to completely or significantly even increase the overall transportation is not going to happen simply because of the limited amount of lithium and then the cost of mining lithium and the overall mining of lithium just to create 1,000 pounds of lithium. I think it's some 500,000 pounds of earth has to be moved to retrieve 1,000 pounds of lithium, which is about what goes into an electrical vehicle. So the math doesn't work, and ultimately that will be seen. For electrical vehicles to significantly impact transportation, there's going to have to be some breakthrough on battery technology. There's been some discussed, but not proven yet, to my knowledge.
Okay, well, let's continue the conversation. Bob Boswell, he is the CEO of Laramie Energy. He is on the line with me. And we're talking about, and we've taken it for granted, how reliable, efficient, abundant, And affordable energy has helped power our lives and helps us pursue our dreams. And we need to continue to understand that there's been an assault on that, and you have to ask why. But we're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, Castlegate Knife and Tool, it's located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. And whether or not you are a chef or a collector or a sportsman, it's so important to have the right tool for the job, and Castlegate Knife and Tool is the place for that. Check out castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back with Bob Boswell.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who support the work that we're doing. It is important that we bring truth and clarity to these issues as we look at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And if something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do that. And we see a lot of force in public policy these days, where we have policymakers, those politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties who are picking winners and losers. And for some reason, they don't really like reliable, efficient, affordable, and abundant energy. Bob Boswell is on the line with us, and this is our Health and Hydrocarbon Show, brought to you by Laramie Energy and Caris Oil and Gas. And you'd mentioned, Bob, one thing about out in California, that they've not been keeping their power lines in good repair, and then the fact that we're also not managing our forests, it's a recipe for disaster, and it's making these forest fires very intense. And again, it's because they're not maintaining those power lines the way they should be. Correct, Bob?
Well, that's my understanding. I mean, that's been one of the issues that's been brought to the front, is that they have not maintained the power lines to the extent that they need to, nor have they cut away the trees and those sorts of things that when there's severe winds can limbs can go into the power lines and create these shorts that take the power out, but also spark fires.
Do you feel, are you seeing, Bob, that everyday people are starting to realize and appreciate the fossil fuel industry, because there's been such an assault on it? And I'd had Patrick Moore on, who was one of the co-founders of Greenpeace. He says he's now the sensible environmentalist, and he is very supportive of the fossil fuel industry and what that brings for human flourishing. Are you starting to see people understand what's going on, or what's your finger on the pulse on this?
Well, Kim, I would like to think so, but I have not seen that. I think there is so much misinformation that people receive in this day and age that it's difficult to see what the truth is. And I think, you know, Patrick Moore, other scientists, scholars such as them, Mike Schellenberg is another, who really studied the physics of what electricity and energy, and they've come to this conclusion that, you know, the fossil fuels, the benefits of those, the contribution to quality of life, the lower cost we receive, the reliability, much outweigh the purported emissions. You know, we have the greenhouse gas emission issues. CO2 does increase the temperature of the earth, but it doesn't do it linearly. It's asymptotic. The earth thrives at about 1,000 parts per million. Today we're at 400 parts per million, and the earth dies at 100 parts per million of CO2. It's nature's fertilizer. It's called photosynthesis, and most people who took science, even in high school, at least discussed the photosynthesis and were made aware of it. But the public in general doesn't. You see such an assault on CO2 and greenhouse gas emissions. And it's, you know, it is a topic that deserves discussion. It is a topic that the industry, the fossil fuel industry, the oil and gas industry in particular, is working to solve these problems. You have to understand that most of our personnel are scientists and engineers, And if we have a problem, then we solve it. There are a lot of things that are being done today on carbon sequestration. There are things that are being done on greenhouse gas emissions around plants and other things that that greatly mitigate that. You're seeing the biggest polluters coming out internationally. China has about 14-15% of the total emissions worldwide. The second largest is Saudi Arabia, and I think the third is Russia. The U.S. pales relative to these others despite our size and use of fossil fuels in the generation of power and transportation. So there's a lot of information that's put out there, some of it correct, some of it wrong, some of it just with a political bent that is putting out and making people concerned, such as Cortez, who's saying the end of the earth and those sorts of things. That creates fear in people, and it's politically driven. It's not scientifically driven, but it's something that we're having to deal with. Now, the U.S. oil and gas industry lobbying efforts pale in comparison to pharmaceuticals and everything else. A recent article from Open Secrets talked about that 190 different organizations contribute $112 million in lobbying in the U.S. Well, there's a lot of different organizations that constitute the energy sector, and they don't talk about that. they do point out that China spends something like $65 million in lobbying-type efforts or influence worldwide, much greater than Exxon, who I think spends $8 or $9 million. So this, there's a lot of misconceptions, but you read an article that talks about our lobbying and you don't understand and put it in the context. It's a problem.
You know, I find that very amazing, as you were mentioning this Open Secrets piece here, Bob, that, again, I think it's important to note that China and Russia have been some of the top dollar lobbyists in the energy industry. And then we saw the Biden administration that they actually closed down the XL pipeline, but then approved or supported the Russian pipeline, the Nord Stream, is that what it's called? I find it just mind-boggling. I can't figure out the thought process on this, Bob.
Well, it's obviously politically driven. We would sit down with five people at a table and go through the facts. I think everyone would reach the conclusion it's the best interest of the United States to complete the Keystone Pipeline, and it's not in the best interest to allow Russia to sell gas into Europe and Germany in particular, which makes them more dependent. Germany, at this point in time, realized they'd made a mistake. They had a big push to go into renewables. They're having supply problems or disruptions. They're having higher costs, and so they're looking for natural gas. This pipeline supplies that. It goes against our ability to import LNG into Europe, but that's just one of the factors that we have to deal with internationally. These are different types of things that are more politically driven than anything else.
Bob, we've got about 4 minutes left, and let's talk about home right here with our Rocky Mountain oil and gas producers. It's been wild as far as when the whole COVID-19 Wuhan, China virus disruption happened, the price of a barrel of oil plummeted. Now it's recovered significantly, but that was really hard on a number of our local independent producers. What has happened with that?
I think you've seen it, that a lot of companies have gone out of business or gone bankrupt and then be restructured, and they're back in business. But there's a lot of companies that didn't go bankrupt that survived through this particular cycle, but they've come out with higher leverage than they would normally have had in a kind of a more of a steady state type of environment. Then you compound that with what we've had to deal with the Colorado Oil and Gas Commission, some of the new rules they're putting in, some of the targets they're setting, and things of that nature, some of which are reasonable, but some of which are overstepping and are going to negatively influence oil and gas production in Colorado. Some people may like that, but when you get your utility bill, you may not like it as much.
I've always thought that people that are not real supportive of oil and gas, that actually if they just started to not use oil and gas, then that would reduce their need for that, and then reduce their emissions on that. But I think that they try to make decisions for everybody else, but they don't adhere to that, because I tell you, I really do appreciate affordable, reliable, abundant, and efficient energy. And I appreciate all that you do as well. What, going forward, what can people do? Because I think everyday people are starting to wake up. What can people do to make sure that we don't continue down this this assault on our oil and gas industry?
Well, I think elections count. And people need to really understand what's influencing their lives. Energy is important to the quality of life and the economic well-being of the state and people of the state. And unfortunately, some people have to see it in the pocketbook or in their communities, what happens when these companies go out of business or when energy costs go up. And that may take time. But people need to recognize elections count. We need to get people in there that advocate policies that are not ideologically driven or politically driven, but are driven in the best interest of the quality of life and the economic well-being of the residents of this state.
Well, and it really is important. And I think I am seeing that people are really waking up to how important elections are. We're seeing a lot of great candidates step forward, just like this Lindsay Moore that was on before you, who is running for District 20 school board. All these races are very, very important. And the ballot, we had a quote from Lincoln last week that said that the ballot is more powerful than the bullet, but we have a civic responsibility to understand the issues, to understand where the candidates are. And we will be doing our voter's guide again on the issues for this particular election cycle to provide it as a tool for people to be able to have as they're filling out their ballot. But Bob Boswell, I so appreciate both Laramie Energy and Caris Oil and Gas, which are sponsors of the Health and Hydrocarbon Show, because reliable, efficient, affordable, and abundant energy helps us power our lives and go after our hopes and dreams. Your final thought, Bob?
Well, Kim, simply a thank you for what you do and to help people understand the issues and understand the importance of their vote and to make sure that we get out the truth to the public and against some of the misconceptions that are out there currently.
Well, we're dedicated to doing that. Bob Boswell, you have a great day.
Thank you, Kim.
Our quote for today is from William Arthur Ward. He says, three enemies of personal peace: regret over yesterday's mistakes, anxiety over tomorrow's problems, and ingratitude for today's blessings. So my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America. To this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry.